The passage in Mark this morning is about Jesus calling the first disciples. It's that great follow me that a lot of us, if we're in church anyway, most of our lives have heard. In fact, when I think about this, there's a statue at Point Loma over in California of Jesus placing his hand on Simon Peter's shoulder at the fishing boats. That kind of encapsulates this famous call to follow me. And when I looked at this, one of the things I wondered about this morning or this week as I was looking was, what does it mean or look like, mean to or look like to follow Jesus, to follow God? What does it look like to follow God? What does that mean? And some initial thoughts that we might have. You know, Jesus comes along and he calls Peter and Andrew, James and John, the apostles. These are the foundational apostles, the disciples. And so we might tend to think that, like, if God is calling you, it means ministry somehow. We might even hear evangelism from some of our church backgrounds. I'll teach you how to fish for people. That's been used a lot for kind of prodding people toward evangelism and talking about Christ. And that's how a lot of us think about it. That's how I grew up thinking about it. In fact, I was talking to somebody this week, just kind of about some of my own story, remembering back when I was a young teenager. And in my youth group, church culture anyway, a call to ministry, a call to be a pastor, was almost like the highest kind of call. And if you almost had to apologize for yourself or make excuses if you weren't called to ministry. Called to be an evangelist, called to be a preacher, called to be God's worker somehow in vocational ministry. Part of that, in my culture anyway, back then, was very much this idea of leaving the old world behind. There's all kinds of stories from people and peers who were in medical school, for example, and then felt the call of God and left medical school and went to seminary instead, those kinds of things. And those are all kind of almost hero stories, because this is how we think about being called by God. The lectionary this morning also gives us a passage from Jonah chapter 3, and it goes along with this and kind of feels the same way. You know, Jonah is a prophet and a missionary sent to a foreign people to proclaim God's message, and it goes along. It confirms some of those thoughts that I had when I was younger. It says, this is chapter 3, just the first three verses I'll read. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." And so Jonah got up and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. This is the story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In that feels like what we're supposed to do with a call and what it looks like to hear God's call is to go into ministry, be a missionary or a pastor or a preacher. Except that Jonah is not that kind of story, and it's not really what we expect. And so even though I come to these passages with all this stuff in my head, when I really started to look at what the lectionary gave me, of course, the calling of the first disciples, but it's linked to this calling of Jonah and the story of Jonah. I started looking at Jonah more again because I love Jonah so much. And I realized that maybe all the things I thought aren't necessarily true. That those are possibly one option for God calling some people, but it's not the whole story. So forgive me for looking at Jonah again, because every time it comes up the lectionary, I think I go off on Jonah. It's one of the very best pieces of scripture in the whole Bible. So the story, Jonah, the prophet, the one called by God, the missionary, the preacher, he's the bad guy in Jonah. God, at the very beginning, some of the first words are, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Amittai's son, saying, get up and go to Nineveh. And so Jonah got up and to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he runs away. And he goes down to Joppa and down into a boat, and he meets a bunch of pagan sailors. And I think that sailors have always had the reputation that sailors still have. So sailors, pagan sailors. And he hides with these pagan sailors, and they go out to sea, and the great storm comes up, and the pagan sailors are the godly ones who seek an answer and who seek God. And eventually, when Jonah is overboard and the great fish swallows him, the pagan sailors are the ones who pray prayers and worship God. Jonah is in the belly of the fish, and he prays a beautiful prayer, and then the fish vomits him up on the shore. And that's where we get to, in the scripture today, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up and go. And Jonah got up, and he went to Nineveh this time. And he proclaims the message that God tells him. And the Assyrians, the Ninevites, these evil people, listen. And God changes God's mind and gives mercy. And this ticks Jonah off. And this prophet of God, the theoretical good guy, is the bad guy again. And it's worth reading some of this story. So Jonah goes into Nineveh and tells the story that God wants Jonah to tell. And then I'll start just reading the story. And the people of Nineveh believed God. These are evil people, remember. Pagans, enemies, literal enemies. This people group is responsible for taking into captivity the whole northern half of the kingdom of Israel in ancient times. These are the enemy. The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on mourning clothes, from the greatest of them to the least significant. And when the word of it reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne and he stripped himself of his robe, covered himself with mourning clothes, and he sat in ashes. And then he announced, in Nineveh, by decree of the king and his officials, neither human nor animal, cattle nor flock, will taste any food. No grazing, no drinking water. Let humans and animals alike put on mourning clothes and let them call upon the God forcefully. And let all persons stop their evil behavior and the violence that's under their control. And he thought, who knows? God may see this and turn from God's wrath so that we might not perish. And God saw what they were doing, that they had ceased their evil behavior and their violence. And so God stopped planning to destroy them, and he didn't do that. And when God saw what they did, he turned... Oh, I copied that verse twice from two different versions. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity he had said he would bring upon them, and he didn't do it. But Jonah thought that this was utterly wrong, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord, come on, God, this is precisely my point when I was back in my own land. This is why I fled to Tarshish earlier, because I know that you are a merciful and compassionate God, very patient and full of faithful love and willing not to destroy. At this point, Lord, you might as well just take my life from me, because it would be better for me to die than to live. And the good guy is cursing God because of God's compassion. And then the plant grows up and gives Jonah shade, and the plant goes away, and Jonah's angry and pouting and angry about his life. And this gives God a chance to end the story of Jonah and say that I made the plant, I gave you shade, and the plant's gone, and you care about the plant. And then God says, for my part, can't I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The end. And if you've heard me preach maybe 5 times, you know that that's one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture. But that brings us back to the original question. What does it look like to follow God? What does a call from God look like? And I want to say very clearly that it is not about a call to ministry. It is not about being a pastor or a preacher or a prophet or a missionary. If we look at Jonah, the people who follow God in this story includes pagan sailors. A giant fish, whale, sea monster thing did God's bidding. The king of Nineveh, the lowest person in Nineveh, cows and chickens and house cats, if they had them. These people didn't all leave behind their lives. What they left behind was evil and violence. Here's the point. That this God who calls you, and I want to make that clear, that these stories of God's calling are not one-time things in the ancient days past. But the call of God reaches through time and reaches to you and to me. This God who calls you is a God of great mercy and compassion, very patient, full of faithful love, a God willing not to destroy. This is the God who calls you, whether you are the king of Assyria or a pagan sailor. And the call that comes to us is a call away from evil and from violence. This isn't the focus, and I didn't really go into this, but there's a really easy way to think about the idea of fishing for people. I will make you fishers of men. This fishing for people is about being a peacemaker in the world. It is a call to be the voice in the hands of this God who is full of faithful love and mercy. So, get up and go and make peace and show love and mercy in this world, whether you are a person of great importance or a cow.